With apologies to Thomas Paine, these are the times that try football's soul. Last week, Junior Seau became the latest NFL retiree to commit suicide. There's a debate raging over paying players bounties to injure opponents. And this week, Hall of Fame wide receiver Art Monk joined a growing group of former players who are suing the league for misleading them about the dangers of head injuries. Now, while it may seem like these are unprecedented times of trouble for football, they're not. NPR's Tom Goldman has our story.
In 1905, 18 people died playing football.
Those 18 deaths, says author John Miller, and the football fatalities that preceded them year after year, happened throughout the game, from sandlots where kids played to the highest level at that time, college football.
They were dying at colleges like Army and Navy and the University of Georgia, University of Virginia.
It was a time when protective gear was scoffed at, when players hit the line often with nothing more, Miller writes, than a thick mop of hair protecting their heads.
They would suffer severe head injuries, the neck would snap. That's how a lot of this happened.
In his book, The Big Scrum, How Teddy Roosevelt Saved Football, and we'll get to that in a minute, John Miller paints the portrait of a game wildly different from today's. There was no forward passing, but teams could actually throw their running back. That's right, throw him to move down the field.
This was such a common play that one player took the handles of a suitcase and stitched them to the sides of his jersey so that his teammates could pick him up and toss him more effectively.
Crazy. But Teddy Roosevelt loved it. He extolled the game's virtues in this 1913 recorded speech in which he encouraged members of the Boys Progressive League to act as good citizens.
In the same way, I'd expect any one of you to act in a football game. In other words, don't flinch, don't fall, and hit the line hard.
In Roosevelt's estimation, not flinching, not folding, built great character. Football taught a person how to get up after being knocked down. But when those 18 players didn't get up in 1905, even the president agreed it was time for reform. Roosevelt called to the White House the head coaches from Harvard, Yale, and Princeton, the big three programs at the time. Roosevelt told the men, football is on trial. The meeting ultimately led to sweeping rules changes. Most significant was the advent of the passing game as a way to spread the action on the field and reduce lethal collisions. Also, no more throwing teammates. After the changes took hold, there was still risk involved and serious injuries. But football became much less deadly. It was transformed and saved from those who wanted to ban the game.
Is he already out? He's out before he hits the ground. Watch. Watch his body right here. He's down. Kirk Coleman hit helmet to helmet. That's why the flag was thrown.
100-plus years later, another crisis point in the game. Players are not dying on the field, but they are bigger and stronger and are using their armor-like protective gear to inflict high-velocity punishment. As in 1905, concern is prompting change, but this time fueled by science. University of North Carolina professor Kevin Guskowitz has done concussion research for 20 years. He and others saw kickoffs as especially risky, with players running at each other from big distances. His work with accelerometers in player helmets helped prompt pro football to move kickoffs forward by 5 yards.
And as a result, this year in the NFL, we saw a 42% reduction in the number of concussions sustained on the kickoff.
Still, concussion lawsuits loom. Parents, like former NFL star quarterback Kurt Warner, say they don't want their kids playing the game. Through it all, football will try to do what it did in 1905, retain some, but not all, of the roughness and violence that Americans love about the game. Tom Goldman, NPR News.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.